Have you seen the blue program?
Your plants,
have you seen how many people it takes to put on something like this?
The Lord.
It's awesome. Thank you, Daphne, Walter. Thank you, Julie, everyone who helped make this happen. Thank you for investing in the kids' lives and for blessing us. Thank you so much. Mr. Jeff Rooney, come and pray for us, please.
But just obeying him with a stubborn and hard heart keeps us from enjoying the fruit of what God really wants to do. So live in obedience to God.
Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this day, and we thank you for our church family. We thank you for the kids who point us to the truth, and we thank you for Craig and his preparation to continue in the book of Jonah. Lord, help us have open hearts to hear what you would have us learn more about Jonah as we look at the fourth chapter of that story, the end of the story. Lord, we thank you so much, and we pray that this day would be, that we would bring you glory this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
That you might live in obedience to him with the heart of his.
Well, good morning again.
Today,
and
every day.
Let's review for a moment.
Father, and of the Son,
God calls Jonah,
and all of God,
and Jonah runs.
Amen.
He not only survives being thrown into the violent storm, but survives being swallowed whole by a large fish. While he hangs out in the belly of the fish for 3 days, he prays this eloquent prayer that is quotes from Scripture. And then he is vomited out of the fish onto dry land unharmed. I mean, who does that? You know, Jonah. And then Jonah finally does what the Lord asks. He goes to Nineveh to proclaim the Lord's judgment. The Ninevites almost immediately repent and are shown mercy by the Lord. And Jonah gets angry because he succeeds, and then sits down near the city of Nineveh. God provides a plant to cover Jonah's head from the sun, and Jonah is happy about the plant. He is happy about the gourd from the Lord. It's the only time we see him happy. And then a worm eats the plant, and it withers. Then Jonah is not happy about the gourd from the Lord. Jonah and God have a conversation, and it ends with God asking Jonah a question. The book has an odd, unresolved ending. It's like watching a movie, then all of a sudden the screen goes black, the credits come up, and you go, "Ah, no, that's it?" Have you ever had that kind of letdown where you ask the question, is that it? Even with the unresolved ending, Jonah is an awesome story. And it is a story where we may see ourselves in the person of Jonah. Open up your Bibles to Jonah chapter 4. I believe in your pew Bible it's page 1436. And we're going to start with verse 5, actually. Jonah chapter 4, verse 5 says, Jonah went out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Why did Jonah want a front row seat to watch God's judgment fall? Nineveh is in Assyria, and Assyria had a history of wickedness and cruelty toward the Israelites. The Israelites are Jonah's people. In the years prior, Assyria brutally attacked and slaughtered the people of Israel multiple times. Notice what the prophet Nahum says about Nineveh. Nahum chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Says, woe to the city of blood, full of lies, full of plunder, never without victims. The crack of whips, the clatter of wheels, galloping horses and jolting chariots, charging cavalry, flashing swords and glittering spears, many casualties, piles of dead bodies without number, people stumbling over the corpses. This is what was said of Nineveh. It is a bloody and cruel city. Why does Jonah sit and wait to see what happens to Nineveh? This city is evil. These people are evil. They are the enemy. They have killed Jonah's people over and over and over again. It's like Jonah saying, I like the compassion and forgiveness thing. I even like the songs. But you're going to crush Nineveh, right? Right, God? They are going to get what they have coming, right? They're the enemy, and the enemy deserves justice, right? So Jonah sits down and waits to watch God bring justice, his wrath, to a people who deserve it. Because if anyone deserves it, they do. He wants to see God do his thing and take care of them. It is at this time that God sends a plant. He becomes attached to the plant. Oh, good plant, right? He finds shade and comfort in the plant God provides. The next day, Jonah finds the plant withered, and he becomes so angry, he wants to die. Let's take a look at verse 10 and 11. Jonah chapter 4, verse 10 and 11. But the Lord said, you have been concerned about this plant. Though you did not tend it or make it grow, it sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals? It's like God saying, you care about that plant. I care about these people. You take joy and pleasure over that plant and despair when it dies. I despair when people are dying and take joy when people live abundant life. Jonah, you love that plant. Now you know how I feel about Nineveh. This is not how God is supposed to work. Jonah wants revenge. He wants to see them get what they have coming to them. But God does not work like that. God loves those 120,000 Ninevites. When Jonah spoke to Nineveh, everyone, and it seems every animal, repented and turned from their evil ways. And God had compassion and did not destroy them. Jonah was so angry because he did not want God to love his enemies. See, his heart is revealed in verses 1 through 3. Jonah chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Let's look. It says, but to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord, isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? This is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. As the kid said earlier, he pouts. Prophets aren't supposed to pout. And as the announcer Gannon said, Jonah was narrow-minded, stubborn, judgmental, grumpy, petty, prejudiced, and pig-headed. Jonah gives this I told you so speech and tells God he would rather die than see these people live. Jonah understood mentally God's character. He knows the Lord has been faithful to Israelites, to the Israelites, and to him as an individual. His prayer in chapter 2 is an example of this understanding. But he does not want God to share the same love with his enemies. His heart does not beat in the same way as God's does. Therefore, this book raises all sorts of questions that apply to us. Are you going to hold out for revenge on your enemies or bless them like God does? I mean, what do you do with your business partner who took the money and ran? What do you do with the person who has been telling lies about you? What do you do with Iran or ISIS? Will you allow for their repentance if it comes? Often, like Jonah, we usually make a joke of our enemies and wait for them to be destroyed. God's kingdom is not like ours. It's an upside-down kingdom. In God's kingdom, there is mercy and grace. In our world, there is violence and revenge. Because of the Ninevites' repentance, they were shown mercy and grace. I mean, how far does God's mercy and grace go? As far as the east is to the west, according to Psalm 103. And one day the Assyrians will worship the Lord with the Israelites. And every tribe and nation will bow down to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Like Jonah, we often have the appropriate and religious words, and even the actions to match those words. But our hearts can be far from God's heart. We can be unwilling to extend God's love and forgiveness to others. At times, we love the plant more than people. And maybe your plant is the desire of revenge. And maybe your plant is your comfort or your safety. Maybe you are caught up in yourself and you have lost your calling. Or maybe you have lost the purpose or passion that God has given you. All around us and around the world, there are people with physical needs. There are people who need clean water or safe housing, or who need to learn how to read and write. Others need emotional healing. There are people who need to hear and see God's truth, His grace and His love in tangible and real ways. There are people who need you. There are people who need you to leave the comfort of your plant and reach out to them. So what about Nineveh? What about your heart? Only God can expand our small, fragile hearts. He has given us His grace through the death and resurrection of His Son, Jesus Christ. And because of Christ working in us, our capacity to love others, even our enemies, increases. When we say yes to God and His love for all people, He will stretch our hearts. And this stretching is sometimes unpleasant. It can be annoying or even hurt at times, especially when He asks us to love people who make us uncomfortable or who even have hurt us. But the stretching will bring our hearts closer to the heart of God. God promises this to His people, in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. And God says, "I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart." Let's pray for God by His Holy Spirit to work in our hearts in a way that causes us to be uncomfortable, in a way that causes us to look beyond our plant to those around us who need God's love extended in tangible and real ways. Let's pray. Lord God, we give you thanks for your faithfulness. We thank you that you never give up on us. Forgive us, Lord, when we become stubborn and want to do our own thing and not yours. Forgive us when we don't want to show or share your love to others. Help us to move beyond our plant and help those in need. God, give us strength to live in a way that would bring you joy and further your kingdom. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.